I invite you to open your Bible to Psalm 63, and you'll see why I said this was a good song for the sermon this morning. Appreciate the introduction, Ron, the kind comments, and I pray the Lord's blessings upon the preaching of His Word this morning. Psalm 63. I have written in over this psalm, in my own hand, the psalm of a hungry soul, the psalm of a thirsty soul. Let's look at, we're not going to read the entire psalm, but we will take a number of the verses. O God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked to You in the sanctuary to see Your power and Your glory. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise You. Thus I will bless You while I live. I will lift up my hands in Your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise You with joyful lips. Let's look back to verse 1, the emphasis for this morning. O God, You are my God. Early I will seek You. My soul thirsts for You. My flesh longs for You. Father, bless the reading and the preaching of Your Word to the hearts of Your people this morning, and to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. It's a wonderful, wonderful psalm. This is going to be kind of a diagnosing kind of sermon, an investigative kind of sermon. I learned a long time ago that when we come to the house of God on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings and any other time we're sitting under the Word of God, we're really sitting, as it were, under the examination of the Holy Spirit. I believe this is one reason some people don't come to church, because they realize it's going to be an interrogation, as it were, an investigation, an examination of the Holy Spirit. And as the Word of God is taught and as the Word of God is preached, it is as though the Holy Spirit puts His finger on our pulse and takes our pulse. He examines our heart to see the condition of our heart. And that, I think, will happen this morning as we look at these verses. One of the signs that we have a right relationship with God, one of the indications that we have a right relationship with God, is that we have a hunger for Him and we have a thirst for Him. I don't know if you've ever been to the doctor and had the question asked, how is your appetite? Now, that doesn't happen in every doctor's visit, and it doesn't happen in the context of every test you may have, but there are times when he will or she will look at you and ask the question, how is your appetite? Why? Because there's a direct correlation between the condition of your health and the condition of your appetite. And the same thing is true in the Christian life. If you were to ask me this morning, how can I determine if I'm a healthy Christian, if I'm a growing Christian, if everything is as it should be in my life, I would ask you, how is your appetite? It is amazing how many Christians have no appetite for the things of God. They have no appetite for the Word of God. And I would say that is a sign of poor spiritual health. When a person has a hunger, as the psalmist said here, as David said here, I thirst for You. My soul hungers for You. Those are two driving forces in the human life that indicate to us that there are needs that only can be met by God Himself. The language here is intriguing to me. I want you to look at verse 1. We're going to kind of pick this apart and take it apart a little bit at a time and look at it. David's language is remarkable. He says, O God. I want to just stop there for a moment and think about this term. The Hebrew word for God here is the word Elohim, Elohim. And it is the word that is used most often in the Old Testament to describe the glory of God and the majesty of God and the power of God. So when David used this expression, O God, he is talking about the one and only Creator God, the one who created all that is created, sustains all that is created. He is the God of all power and all glory. You're going to see how significant this is in a moment as David says, O God. Oh God, it's a wonderful thing. But look at the next phrase that he uses. What does he say next? Oh God, what? You are my God. Now this is so good. When I bumped into this when I was working on this sermon some time ago, and this is the way I approach study, kind of a word at a time, and I saw this term, oh God, and I questioned, what word is it that he's using for God? And then I discovered that he was using the word that describes all of the glory and all of the majesty and all of the power of God. That all comprehensive name. And then I read the next phrase, you are my God. This is incredible. David is saying the God of creation is my God. The God of all power is my God. The God of glory is my God. He is describing a personal relationship with the God of creation, the God of all glory. Now that's pretty good, isn't it? Now, for us, can we say the same? Can we say the same? Now I say this somewhat humorously, so take it that way. We are pretty good at saying, oh God. I hear that quite often. Oh God. And I'm not sure we're always using it in the right way. But if you have to stop there, oh God, that declaration that there is a God and you acknowledge that is one thing. But the question that comes before us this morning is this, can you say, you are my God. This is good to know in David's life, and it's good to know in your life and in my life. And I need to remind you that David wrote this psalm when he was running from Absalom, fleeing for his life. He was hiding in caves and living in the wilderness. He was exiled from his throne. He was in a dark place in his life. And I don't have to ask you if you've ever been in a dark place. Some of you are in a dark place this morning. I don't have to ask you if you've ever been in the desert of life. Some of you are in the desert of life this morning. David was in a lonely place, a suffering place. I'm glad that when we find ourselves in such places as that as Christians, that we, like David, can cry out to God and not only to just some God out there somewhere, but we can say, oh God, you are my God. I couldn't make too much of this. It's a remarkable thing. Now I want you to see something else as we just kind of walk through the text. He says, early I will seek you. Early I will seek you. I'm reading the CSB translation a good bit now. That's the new Baptist Bible, if we call it that, the CSB, Christian Standard Bible. Any of you using that translation? And I'm just reading from, not preaching from it, so hang on, don't get upset. Well, I'm still preaching from the good text here. But the CSB here says, eagerly I will seek you. And that's all right, because when you study the original language, when the writer used this term here, early I will seek you, he was not really using a term that was necessarily intended to mean the time of day. He was using a term to mean priority. The priority of my life is God. The priority of my life. And early I will seek. You could just as easily say urgently I will seek, or eagerly I will seek, or with priority I seek. And I need to ask us this morning, you and me, all of us, is God a priority in our lives? Are we seeking Him eagerly? I think that's something that we need to consider. Notice what he says here in this psalm. He says, "My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you." He picks up two of the two dominating driving forces in our lives: to have drink and to have food. I have to have food, don't you? How many of you have ever said, just because dinner's running a little late, "Hurry up, I'm starving to death." I'm starving to death. Well, that's just not true. You weren't just starving to death. You weren't near starving to death. I've said that, and I stop and think a moment when I'm kind of trying to hasten up the dinner schedule, if it's running a little late, and I'm saying, "Well, you know, I really am ready. I'm starving to death." If I have that kind of drive to want my dinner, and I'm not even near starving to death, think about a man who is starving to death. And that's the kind of language David is using. I can't remember, I used to know, but I can't remember at this moment how many days we can go without food, but we can go a fairly long time without food. But we can only go a matter of days without water. My mentor, Dr. Stephen Oford, was a missionary kid, grew up in Africa, born to missionary parents. And I have heard him, he's in glory now, but I've heard him talk about some of the days of his boyhood in Africa when his father would be, and this was back in the era of time when the missionaries were literally cutting their trails into places that no white man had been before there in Africa, with a machete, just cutting their ways and establishing contact with unreached, we call them today, unreached people groups. And I heard Dr. Oford tell on an occasion about how they had these African guides who seemingly always knew where the water supply would be when they were trekking across these desert lands. But there was a time of disorientation, and they went for days without water and seemingly couldn't find any water. The reason I'm telling this is because when I was sitting in the lecture room hearing Stephen Oford give this information, he said our tongues were literally swollen and protruding from our mouths and sticking to the roof of our mouth. We were near death, thirsting for water. I want to tell you the rest of that story because miracles still do happen. Stephen Oford's father, who had a strong sense of call about where he was in this time in his life as a missionary, he said, I felt that I'm under God's appointment. I'm here because God put me here. I'm doing His will. And he basically just looked heavenward and said, "Lord, here we are, and we're just a short time away from death. And if you don't provide some water, we're going to perish. And if your work is done, that's fine, but I don't think it is. And I pray for you to provide." Stephen Oford was a teenage boy, and he said, "There wasn't a cloud in the sky when my father was praying, but by the time he got through, the sky was black with clouds." And he said, "There was a deluge of rain that dropped down on us, providing all the water we needed. That part of the story I needed to tell because I like to tell you and encourage you that God still hears prayer. God still does miracles. But the first part is really what I wanted to say is that when you reach a point when you're absolutely thirsty, dying of thirst, you will turn to God for that. When I was a student at Samford years and years ago, I skipped class one day. I didn't do that often, but I did do it from time to time. And I didn't skip class to do bad things. I skipped class to go hear somebody preach. And I skipped class to go to a Bible conference being held there in the city. And there was a man by the name of Stuart Briscoe preaching. And it was kind of a deeper life conference emphasis. And by the way, there's a brochure, a pamphlet, and the rack just up the hallway here by Jill Briscoe. And I was telling Tony last week that anything that Stuart Briscoe or Jill Briscoe writes is worth reading. So I would ask, it's a pink booklet, and some of you may have read it, but she's wonderful, and he is too. But I was sitting there listening to Stuart Briscoe preach, and he made a statement that I wrote in the flyleaf of my Bible at that very moment. It was so impacting to me that I wrote it down, but I've never forgotten it, and I've probably quoted it hundreds of times. I've quoted it probably in previous times that I've been here because it's such a forceful statement, and here it is. I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to say it a couple of times because I want this to get into your mind. Here is what Briscoe said that captured my attention as a college student and as a young Christian. He said, God meets man on the level of his desire, and a man can have as much of God as he wants. God meets man on the level of his desire, and a man can have as much of God as he wants. I said this last Sunday, you may not remember it, but part of what's wrong with us as Christians is that our desire mechanism is broken. Our wanter is broken. Our want to regarding the things of God is not functioning. God meets us at the level of our desire. If you want God, you can have God. If you seek God, you can find God. If you thirst for Him, He will quench that thirst. The problem so often with our Christian life is not on God's part, it's on our part to have that hunger and that thirst. Well, I want to talk about the characteristics of this hunger and thirst just for a moment. There are three of them. And we're still kind of in that diagnosis process. How am I doing? How am I doing in my walk with God? Am I a healthy Christian? Well, if appetite has anything to do with determining that, then maybe this will help a little bit. David says here in his language, this early I will seek you, is a word which carries a sense of urgency. Hunger and thirst for God has a sense of urgency, and he says it in this very first verse, early I will seek you. It denotes priority, it denotes importance, it denotes urgency. Could I ask you this morning, and these questions bounce right back to me, is there a sense of urgency in your life about the things of God? Is there really a sense of urgency? David here is stating that there's an urgent need. This thirst is an urgent need. Also, we see that the second characteristic of this thirst is not only that it's an urgent need, but he has an intensity in this thirst, an intensity. I see that in the next phrase. He says, early, or in this phrase, he says, early I will seek you. This word seek is a word which really identifies a man who is looking for a treasure, as it were. And there's an intensity. He's not going to give up until he finds that for which he's searching. An intensity. An intensity. And then I see a clarity. And a clarity in his thirst. I love this. I love this. There's a clarity about David's prayer. He says, oh God, You are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Then he goes to say what I said a moment ago. He's in a desert. I'm in a dry and thirsty land. He literally was where there's no water. He literally was. Literally and spiritually in that kind of situation. But there's a clarity in his prayer. Oh God, my God, I thirst for you. I will seek you. My soul thirsts. My soul hungers. I will seek you. A clarity. He didn't say, listen to this. He didn't say, God, I think I might be thirsty. He didn't say that. He said, I am thirsty, and I know my need, I know my condition, and only you can fulfill this condition. Let's be, as it were, clear in our praying for God. So I've had people to say, but Brother Roger, I can't really tell him what I'm longing for. I really can't express it. It might be, and what they're implying is it might be an overload. It might knock him off his throne if they really let go of the whole load of where their heart is. Let me remind you of something this morning. Whatever your need is, it's not going to overpower God. God is sufficient. Do you believe that? Well, let's move on to the second thing. We talked about the characteristics. I want to talk about how do we acquire this thirst for God. That's a good question. How do we get this thirst? Where does it come from? And I'm going to stir up something in you that already exists. I would say for the majority of people in this room, you're already there where I'm going to be talking about in a moment. And there may be possibly someone who hasn't gotten there yet, but when I get through with this explanation, you'll see what I'm talking about. Where does this thirst come from? It comes from the new birth. It comes from being born again. It is something that is instinctively placed within us as Christians. I've preached a couple of sermons from Psalm 84, which kind of parallels this psalm. And Psalm 84 talks about the psalmist seeking God and finding God. And what we discover when we study these kinds of psalms is this, that God is not hard to find. God is not hard to find. Sometimes we live and talk and behave as though he's difficult to find. He isn't difficult to find. When you were born again, the Holy Spirit put within your soul a global positioning system. GPS. And all you've got to do is follow the directions of that GPS and you will find yourself right to God. Years ago, I saw this happen and I raised the question. I was in Kenya, Africa, working with a missionary, and he asked me if I would mind going into the bush area on a Sunday morning to preach to a what we would call in today's terminology a new church plant. They started a new church. And I told him I'd be honored to. And he said, well, we're going to have to leave about 3 o'clock in the morning. It's a long way. It's a long way. And I said, I'm fine. I'm good with that. And so we took off in his Peugeot. That's back when the Foreign Mission Board provided our missionaries that French-made car, the Peugeot. They're pretty durable cars. And we went driving till there was no asphalt. Then we went driving on a dirt road till there was no more dirt road. And then we got off dirt road onto wagon trails. And then we got off wagon trails to just sage-like fields with no markings whatsoever. And I can still see that sage sweeping by the windows of that car. And we drove into no man's land. And a village here and a village there, and soon we were in this vast open area, and all I could see was a pavilion, a tin, galvanized tin roof pavilion that a group of Christian carpenters from the Kentucky Baptist Convention had gone out and built this galvanized tin pavilion. It's probably a 20 by 20 pavilion. Wasn't very large at all, but it was a meeting place for these Africans to come and sit under. And we got there before anyone else was there. Then one came, then another, and I was looking, where are these people coming from? Because you couldn't see any kind of housing or village. Where are they coming from? And they kept coming, and they kept coming. There's probably 100 people there near that before the service started. I asked the missionary, where are they coming from? They were all walking. Every one of them was walking, carrying bundles on their back, carrying children. And he said, Roger, some of these people started walking this morning not long after you and I started driving. 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning. And they've walked, and they've walked. And then he said this. He said this to me. He said, now I don't know what you prepared to preach, but it better not be short. He said, preach until you can't preach anymore. What an invitation. Which reminds me. And I got to tell you, I've never had an invitation like that since then. So I'm asking the question. You know, you wonder about these things. What drew them here? What drew these people to walk for hours? And it's going to be the same distance going back. What drew them here? Was it this little galvanized tin pavilion that a group of Baptists put here so they'd have a little shelter? No walls, just a roof. No. There was a GPS within their hearts, and they'd been told that there would be a man of God at that designated place, preaching the Word of God, and a hunger and a thirst to hear the Word of God drew those people to walk, some of them for hours, to reach that place. And by their presence say, give me everything you've got while you're here. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when you've experienced a little bit of that, as I have over the years, you can get pretty grumpy about our Baptist way of doing things. When the weather's not just right, or when the timing's not just right, or when something else more important comes along, or the service might be too hot, too cold, too long, too something, too loud, whatever. We need to get over some stuff and just have a heart hunger for God. A heart hunger for God. Paul said, if any man is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And what that new thing is that there is instilled within our hearts at our salvation experience in that moment by the incoming of the Holy Spirit into our lives, there is born into our hearts a hunger and a thirst to know Him more and more and more. And I'm going to tell you something, you will never know it all. You'll never experience it all this side of glory. Paul said it, I have not arrived. I've been traveling, running the race fast and hard, but I have not arrived. There's still more to go. There's still more to gain. And the same is true for you and me. I grew up in the country. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I've seen the things that you see when you're a country boy, and some of you, I would assume, have been there. You've seen a little litter of kittens just freshly born, a little litter of kittens. Can you imagine that? How many of you can see that picture in your mind right now? Just a little litter of kittens just freshly born. What are they doing within almost seconds of their birth? They're nestling into their mother's milk. I worked in a hog parlor. That'll bless you. I worked in a hog parlor. My job as a 9, 10-year-old, 11-year-old boy was to keep the stalls clean so those sows coming in, it was a birthing hog parlor, and they'd be brought into this stall when their time for delivery was there, and they would come in, and I had to keep those stalls clean, and sometimes I had to help with the delivery of those little pigs because I had small hands and small arms, and you can fill in the rest of the story. I was, in my boyhood days, a swine OBGYN, I guess you would call it. I was I had to do those things. But I noticed when that litter of piglets was born, it wasn't long until they were nursing. I thought, who told them that was there? How do they find mother's milk? There's a GPS put into those things. We call it instinct. And I use those illustrations. By the way, the human being is the same way. The human being is the same way. I'm trying to tell you that when we are born again, we are born with a spiritual instinct to seek God. And if you don't have it, something is amiss. Something is wrong. So you need to do a checkup. I have one more thing to say and I'm done. What keeps our appetite for God strong and healthy? I'm going to give you three things and I'm not going to comment on them. They're self-explanatory. Number one is praising God. You praise God and your appetite for Him will stay strong. This is in verses 3 through 5. Because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift my hands up to you. David is saying, I will praise God. Even in the midst of his darkness. Listen, this is a wonderful prayer. David was in one of the darkest places in his life. And as he prays, you'll notice something. Notice this. He never asked one time for God to get him out of this situation. He just simply praised God. And I would say the way to get out of that situation is to praise God. He keeps God on his mind. He says in six, when I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. David is saying, not only do I praise you, but I think about you all the time. I think about you all the time. And then verse 7 and 8, he says, I stay close to God. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. My soul follows. What's the next word after that? My soul follows what? Close. So you say, Brother Roger, how can I stir up my thirst for God? How can I raise my level of hunger and thirst for God? Praise Him. Think about Him all the time and stay real close to Him. That's what the psalmist did. Amen? Well, that's the message for this morning. And I trust that it has been an encouragement to you. The sermons last Sunday were kind of heavy, and I know that. Today I came intentionally wanting to talk to you in a way that would encourage you and help you and inspire you. And I love this psalm. God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. Folks, this ought to be a hallmark of every Christian's life. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, we ask you please to speak to our hearts this morning. By your Holy Spirit, draw to yourself that person who needs to make a decision for you. And Lord, I pray that each and every one of us would be honest with ourselves and with you and allow the Holy Spirit to put his finger on our pulse and check our pulse.